following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
All right, buddy, we have, I was going to say one of our favorites, but is he one of our favorites?
No, he is.
Well, it's taken us a long time to get him on the show, that's for sure, because I'm on the show, I'm off the show.
I'm in Kanata.
You're not supposed to speak.
Dominic Zempronia.
I'm glad you said the last name, because I still can't say it.
Is it Onya or Anya?
It's Anya on Saturday night, and it's Onya.
I own you every other day.
If you go to Italy and ask my cousins Zempronia. How they say their name, they'll probably say Zempronia. Zempronia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go here, they say Zempronia.
What have you heard? What have you heard? Like, because obviously, as an actor, they probably some guy comes out of the radio room. Dominic Zempronia.
I went and did an acting class a couple weeks ago because I need one of those badly.
You're a little rusty, I was going to tell you.
Oh, jeez.
On your big episode with Sonny, you guys were really rusty together.
Were we?
No, not at all, dude. I'm kidding.
That hasn't aired yet, right? Or has it?
No, we just shot it last week.
Oh, okay.
No. The one where his Maurice's What If. One. You guys had some great scenes.
That was actually pretty fun.
You guys had some great scenes.
Yeah.
So that go ahead.
What was I talking about?
Oh, yeah, acting class.
So you have to pretend you were doing an audition. It's like you were literally coming into a room. You know?
I love it.
So the
I
girl,
need to do that again.
Dude, we all need to do that. Like, this is nerve-wracking, you know, because you're sitting,
You're
walking into a room like this with people just lining the walls.
Totally.
There's 12, 13
you mean in your acting class? Yeah.
In the class,
well, it's
right?
Like a network test, I guess, right?
Then that's kind of what it felt like. Yeah. Have you ever auditioned for CSI, the one over in at the Paramount Studios? Like, you walk into the room, and it's literally no shit. The size of the room is this big, and the person's in the corner, and there's executives lining the wall, and you sit in the middle.
Oh gosh,
where that table is.
It's like theater in the round,
and you don't even know. Like,
or they're gonna jump you. Yeah. Jump you in the gang.
Yeah, yeah. So I walk in, and she's got her assistant, you know, pretending to be
sure.
The person who's assisting, right?
Right.
And she goes, and I have Dominic Zoom here.
What? What?
And I stopped and I look at her. I was like, Zoom, Zoom? What the fuck are you talking about? She's like, well, I couldn't read your writing. I'm like, oh. So that is.
Well, thank God it wasn't a real audition.
Well, no, oh, my
I guess,
God.
Dude,
man.
You actually might get the job.
If I had a cooler name like
your
that.
Your name was Dominic Zoom Zoom?
Zoom? Oh, Dom Zoom Zoom?
I'd be like, who's Dom Zoom Zoom? I would have watched this cat. What other names?
Zambavonia is like one. Where they add letters to it. It's like, why would you add letters to my name, man?
So, dude, what have you been doing?
But then I get Dominique thrown in front
Dominique.
Of it.
Oh, that's
and that,
charming.
That
that's
makes
cute.
It like, you know.
That's cute.
That's super charming.
Dominique Zoom Zoom.
Dominique Zoom Zoom.
Dominique Zoom Zoom.
I love
a porn name.
Oh, dude, we have so much
could
to,
be, yeah.
We have so much to talk about with you. It's crazy.
And thanks
for coming.
And run a time.
And hey, man, you were a little late today. Thanks for coming. So this guy, we had to get him out of his house. Do you have how many kids now?
Same as you, buddy.
Five?
Three.
Three. Okay.
Well, you only have three, right?
Yeah, three. So I don't know if we were going Amish or not. So
no, well,
you're going to have another one?
No, my buddy just sent me a picture of him. Him and his wife were out trying to have kids for years, and they finally had a kid.
Aw.
And have you seen, like, your wife's face when you show her a picture of a baby? Like, men don't have that reaction, right?
Women have. Oh, it's a baby. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, it's like, oh, it's a cute baby. I'm really happy for my buddy and his wife who've been trying to have a kid for a long time. But her hand goes to her heart and her face. Like,
oh,
she
no. You're screwed.
All this stuff, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you got to have, like,
well, you're
you got to be ready for that because, you know, our wives are, you know, we're not young anymore.
We're correct.
You know?
Right.
So things change.
Sure.
Right?
Sure,
And they start to feel that every time they see that. And that's a real thing. You got to.
Because it's just, it's pure.
Hash that out.
Yeah,
right?
It's called celibacy.
Yeah.
That's one way to cure it right away.
10 years into marriage.
You're maybe. Done. You're cut off, baby. Dark. No more babies.
Celibacy or, like, sterility?
Well, what do you have? We don't know if the freaking Jackal Jr. is working anymore.
Wait, so your youngest is how old now?
The Jackal Jr.
Kind of, yeah. It never ends, dude.
The Jackhammer.
That is not true at all. Stop it, dude. Fastest guy in the West. Oh, man. Fastest guy in the West. Jackal Jr. Coming to a theater near you.
Jackal Jr. and Dom Zoom Zoom. It's like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but different.
Yeah, but
that's
a lot,
the name for it, Nick.
Come on, buddy. Let's go. Let's do this.
But a lot different. So how old are the girls now?
Three, 6, and 8.
Wow. Wow, so your youngest is 3. That's
so
right.
You love pain.
That's right.
Yeah, my 3-year-old's crazy. Dude. 3-year-olds are crazy, man.
Out of control.
I don't know why people said 2s were bad. I've never had a bad 2-year-old.
I feel like
girls. Correct. 3 and 4.
Especially
yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, wait. It doesn't end. The 4 is the same. It yeah. doesn't end at 3. Yeah.
I don't know. I from what I've been told, boys at 2 are tough because they can't communicate yet. But girls learn to talk faster generally.
Yeah,
so,
girls
a lot
are smarter.
Yeah, a lot of the 2-year-old problems is, I can't tell you what I want, so I'm going to throw a tantrum about it. But our 2-year-olds could tell us what they want. And they were girls. So, and you have all girls. So maybe you just haven't, maybe boys are terrible at 2. And also they run around and break stuff and hurt themselves.
Boys?
Yeah.
Oh, my son.
Yeah.
We were this close to having him wear a helmet 24 hours a day.
Absolutely.
Because that dude hit his head so many times.
Man, my middle kid, too.
Dang. Everywhere. Face, head, boom,
was
cuts.
It like hospital trips or was
yes.
it all? Yeah, same here. That's freaky, too, right?
I know.
Oh, man.
We were close. We ordered the helmet. Don't laugh, Dominic. Zoom, zoom. We ordered the helmet on Amazon. We got it, and we saw it. I go, I can't do it to my kid.
You actually ordered a helmet?
We did, because he was hitting
his
head.
What kind of helmet? Like a bike helmet?
No, it wasn't a bike helmet. It was actually, it looked more like
a soft, like a boxing helmet?
No, like it looked more like the old, like, NFL helmets.
Oh, so like a hard helmet.
It wasn't hard. No, the old,
like the
leather
padded
ones?
One.
The padded ones, yeah.
Yeah. Not like the head shape one that people get for their kids when they don't want their kid to have a misshapen head.
Oh, no, like the anti cone head.
Yeah.
Those are baby helmets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're to shape a baby's head.
My kid had a freaking cone head.
Yeah. Did you get one of those things for your kid?
No, we did not. No.
And his
but
head
it was
turned
weird
fine,
because
right?
because it was such a hard delivery for Cherie.
Yeah.
I mean, they used the freaking suction and the force, and this kid's head was like looked like a Dr. Seuss. Seuss. I go. The first thing I said, I go. Is that going to go back?
Oh, man.
Because that is a freaking cone head.
It's a lot of head.
And then they try to put the little sock on it. And it goes, I'm like, what are you doing? It's my kid, man. All right, let's talk business.
So you're Canadian, if anybody didn't know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Hamilton?
I'm from Hamilton, Ontario.
Right. And you're from like a... You're from a performing arts family, the Flying Zampronias, right?
That's
you guys
right.
were just, like trapeze family?
Yeah.
You were not.
No, we were not.
Okay. No, I was like, wait a minute.
No, but I was
but they
like,
were a performing arts family.
Yeah, like I had no choice in the matter. Like it's not like I was going to be a scientist or a mathematician or an intelligent person
right.
at all.
Right.
Well, you are intelligent, though.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, at certain things.
Yeah. Hey, he's making some money in crypto. That's all I know.
Oh, right.
So you got to be pretty smart to do that.
No,
or damn lucky.
Dumb luck, man.
Dumb luck.
So so from the beginning, you were too. As soon as you could talk, you were singing and dancing, kind of thing.
No, I was forced into like ballet, tap, and jazz.
It's great, dude.
Which you know what, man? Like it's tough doing ballet as a kid, you know.
In
but you recruit your buddies and you get them to take classes with you, and you don't feel like such a loser. But
right,
and then you just lost some sound wall there.
Oh Stevie. Yeah, well,
is that gonna ruin
it's high tech. It's a high tech studio, dude.
Surprised can't you don't you have tell? Head curtains on the walls.
Can't you tell it's a high tech studio? Look, yeah, sweet,
woo-woo.
Double stick.
But yeah, it was. I grew up in a house that my parents had dance classes going on downstairs the whole time. As I was
the studio used to be in your house.
Yeah, yeah. It still is.
It still is,
in the
yeah.
house.
Wow.
And I grew up in, my dad still lives in that house, and there's still a dance school downstairs.
Yeah.
That my sisters run, and then they've opened up another
That's
one.
That's kind of cool, though.
It is kind of neat,
That's
man.
That's kind of cool that the family business has been around and handed down.
Yeah,
That's
for
cool.
since the 70s, you know?
So That's how did awesome. Your parents get into it?
They met, my dad was born in Hamilton. They met in England, in London's West End. She was doing guys, and no, she was doing cabaret or something like that, and my dad was doing West Side Story.
Wow! Nice. Did they? I wonder if they ever ran into like Finola when she was doing Cats or something.
When was she?
Probably in the '80s, I guess. maybe so. This,
they were already back in
Canada. They're
already
back, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so they met doing over there, and then my dad worked on Fiddler on the Roof. I always think that's really cool. You guys ever seen that movie?
Yeah. No. Oh, he worked in the movie.
You look at me like a blank stare. So you obviously have not seen.
That's
Fiddler
my Jason look.
You've heard of Fiddler on the Roof?
Of course, I've heard of it.
He was in the. He worked on the movie.
Yeah, he was in the movie. Like
was
you know
Zero?
The, what
was it? Was Zero Mostel, wasn't it?
That was Topol, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
Who I don't know who either of those guys are. Yeah.
But you're right.
But I'm right. Yeah. But he's what? There's a wedding scene in that movie. And there's four guys who put bottles on their heads, these long-haired, bearded dudes. And they put bottles on their heads, and they do this weird kind of bottle dance. And my dad's like the second guy from the left in that.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he worked with Sophia Loren in Man of La Mancha with Peter O'Toole.
Wow. Yeah. Where did he shoot?
That was in Spain.
Wow.
So where was he booking that stuff? Out of New York?
Out of England, I think.
Yeah, maybe it was England, yeah.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
That's kind of neat, right?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Kind of. That's like Hollywood history. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then they moved to Hamilton.
His career was over.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's where he was from.
Yeah. Which is funny. I guess, do we all have plans on moving back to 5 minutes from our parents' house?
I don't know.
Not me. But.
No.
Yeah, so he was, when they were ready to have a family, they were like, all right, we're transitioning our careers? Or was it like, just, hey, that part of our life's probably done, so let's do this?
Yeah, I never really asked. I know my dad was kind of done with the business. He was.
Yeah.
My mom was a ballerina, essentially. So
right.
She
so there is a time. There's a time limit to that, though. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they wanted to have kids, I guess. So they, I guess, regardless of what you guys think about Canada, it is a.
You're so dumb.
It is a good. No. It's a.
You're so
if you
dumb.
Want to raise a family and
it's
all that
a,
kind of
Canada's
stuff, it's a good
awesome.
Place to be.
Dude.
And your medical expenses
we love,
are nil.
We love Canada.
Right.
We love it. I love Canada.
No, I just know there's
they're nil. You might be on a 10-year wait list.
That's right.
But
don't
nil.
Break anything.
Don't break.
Don't get sick.
Don't have any emergent situations.
Yeah. No urgent care. Do not go to urgent care or you'll be dead.
It's a good thing you're going to have a baby in 9 months. So you can tell them I'm going to be here in 9 months.
I actually love Canada, dude. I love it.
So
do you guys feel like I wear stretchy jeans now because I'm old?
No, it's just what's in, dude. That's how they make the jeans now.
It's not what's in, but these aren't stretchy, and it's like they're uncomfortable.
So today is a non-stretchy day, so you feel a little
I'm trying to be a little – I'm trying to just be like a little cooler.
Well, it's working. Whatever you're doing, it's working.
Yeah, right? Look at that. Yeah. He's got the sweater on.
I mean, he's really making himself comfortable here.
Yeah, apparently. It's like – stupid idiot.
What TV shows are you guys watching?
I just started watching The Bodyguard.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
Netflix. Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, everyone was like, oh, you should see it. It's interesting.
It's not that good.
It's not that good.
It's not changing your life good, but it's entertaining.
It is. But usually when people say, like Bloodline, they say you got to watch this. You can't stop watching it.
I did.
You're such an idiot.
No, it didn't do it for me.
I didn't do it at all.
Not at all. I just, part of my problem is if I start watching something past 8:30 at night, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
Unless it's like some cool like 80s action movie that I can stay awake for.
It's mindless too, and you're just watching.
Totally.
Yeah, you don't have to follow.
No.
It's very difficult because everyone has accents in this thing, Irish and English, and they're talking fast. I can't even. Sheree's like, what'd they say?
You got to put subtitles on.
Totally.
That helps with everything.
Now I'm 80.
Yeah, I do it all. Yeah,
now,
totally.
Now you're 80.
Dude, by the way, we sat down. We're watching the new season of True Detective.
Is it great?
It's not great because the first season was great.
They all moved slow for me.
They do move slow.
Yeah.
But it's closer to the first season than the last season. I haven't watched the last season. Great.
Yeah.
But this one is definitely more in the same realm as the first. But we turn on the subtitles. Like we sat down last night, we put the kids to bed. She's like, put on the subtitles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby, do it.
Yeah.
Put them on.
That's what it's come to.
What time do your kids go to bed?
Oh man, geez. Right now it's like 9 p.m.
That's
too late.
They
sit in bed for an hour and a half, dude. I lose my mind.
Are they reading books or are they just like wasting time or what?
What?
Oh, I can't even get them into the bed half the time.
Sure.
And now it's a gang.
Yeah.
Now you got to corral them.
Yeah, whoever said like
have them in a really quickly in a row. It's a lot easier.
Not that. Oh, once you have two, it doesn't matter how many more you have.
Bullshit,
man.
I know.
Three kids is like it's you just feel like
you
a
have to
beaten
get a bigger
man.
You have to get a bigger car.
Yeah.
A bigger house.
Yeah. Yeah,
like everything changes.
Yeah, like we have to find another bedroom.
Totally.
Oh, somewhere.
Oh, that's right. Do you guys have a three-bedroom house?
Yeah,
so now you need a four-bedroom.
Yeah. We don't need it yet because they're sharing a room. Like, they're happy kind of sort of thing.
But, like, what we found is, you know, our girls were sharing a room for a bit, but then one gets sick, and then the other one is kept up all night by the other one coughing. Or, like, if you're trying to protect each one's sleep, it's really hard when they're sharing a room.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
And, I mean, but it teaches them how to share and stuff and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, man, it is, like, we just went. We were went to a dance competition this weekend in San Francisco, and we had to share a hotel room.
Were you dancing?
No, I wanted to so
starting,
bad.
You're starting the village.
The music starts, and I just want to get out there. But
you're like the Von Trapp family,
absolutely, dude. And you know, Finola, the youngest, has had a little bit of a cold, but when she lies down, she just can't stop coughing.
Yeah.
And she's asleep the whole time, but she's coughing every 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. So me, my wife, and poor Juna, who actually has to dance, are like jarred awake every 20 minutes all night long.
Yeah.
And we couldn't wait to get home and into our separate bedrooms again so she can cough all night if she wants to, but doesn't wake the rest of us up.
I know. Last night we were watching it, and my four-year-old, there's no putting her to bed. The first two were amazing. In bed, 8 o'clock, we had a life.
Yeah.
This one is a wild banshee. Excuses every coming down. Oh, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Yeah. I forgot to take my vitamins. Like, whatever she says, she comes down at 9:30. I'm like, what is she doing? Get her in bed.
Yeah. My three-year-old brings me she'll bring me a tablet. Dad, Mommy said I can watch a show.
No, she didn't. Mommy's right here. She knew it was upstairs.
Yeah, she did. Well, then go get her to turn it on for you. No, Daddy, can you put it on for me?
Yeah, totally. It's just crazy, man.
So they don't go to bed late, and then they're up early regardless. It doesn't matter what time they go to bed.
Mm-hmm. But then you don't have TV time with why.
No, well, that's the problem. So they're in bed. You know, you're trying to get them in bed by you're trying to get them dressed for bed by 7 o'clock, 7:15, so that they can be in bed by 8, so that they're asleep by 9. So that's a 2-hour
going to bed
process.
Yeah, that's a big process.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't be like that. Obviously,
no, it shouldn't.
That's not.
We had it made.
Just is. It's kind of fallen into this.
We had it made with our first two. Perfect discipline, not like just military timing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
And then they finally get to a point where they go to bed by themselves. Yeah. They can pack a bag by themselves.
Yeah.
They can do everything by themselves. And we're like, let's go to Europe.
That's when you can travel.
That's when you can travel.
We're doing that next month, man.
Oh,
we're
gosh.
Going to for 3 weeks.
You're going to Europe for 3 weeks with all of them?
Yeah, with everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Bless your heart.
Man, you better bring some pills and alcohol.
I'm scared.
Now,
I'm scared.
Are you
scared of the flight, to tell you the truth.
Now, is it just like, hey, this is family vacation time, we got to go? Or is there like an event happening over there that you're going for?
No, we just talked about going for years. And then I finally just sat there and I booked tickets and told Linda when she came home, like, oh, so I booked it.
Nice.
You know.
Yeah.
We're going to meet friends over there in Tuscany and stay at this
Airbnb kind of
300
place?
Acre olive orchard.
Nice.
And then we're going to meet up with my sister in the south of France. And
that's
we're going
cool,
to go to Paris. And then
that'll
we're gonna
be
go
fun.
To England and see my mom's family and stuff like that, and then we're going to fly home.
Man. That sounds amazing.
That'll be fun. They won't remember.
Your three-year-old's going to cherish those memories forever.
Dude, that's why I'm like, why am I paying all this money to go to Maui when they don't even remember it?
Dude, you could take
them. Have you ever flown without your wife and your kids? Like, just with your kids, rather? Without your wife, though?
Once.
How did that go?
Well, I didn't have the little one.
Oh, you didn't have the
I had Jack and McKenna.
Oh, that's nothing.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was the best.
They're like your buddies.
We're having a party at the bulkhead.
Yeah. It's like, they're mixing drinks for you.
Totally.
It was great. Have you? Is it?
I flew back from Toronto a year ago with my two youngest. So she's going to be 4 in May. So a year ago, she was not even 3.
Yeah. How'd that go?
I was sweating.
Oh, dude.
From the hour one to hour five, I was just like, my middle one was actually great. She chilled out until the end of the flight. The minute the plane started to make the descent, she's like, Daddy, I gotta go pee. And there was this like massive, like I don't know. You know, with kids, like, you don't have any idea why all of a sudden, like, the lights turn on about having to go to the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
But it does. I mean, it's obvious that signal doesn't hit the way it hits us.
But seatbelt signs on, you're descending.
Yeah, so there's nothing you could do.
Right.
And then the whole time, this one's just like freaking out from screaming at the top of her lungs, calling for, and you just see people looking at you. I'm like, you don't want to like give a shit what other people think about your screaming kid, but you kind of do.
Well, of course,
yeah, you do.
You can't help it, but at the same time, it's like, come on,
What do you want? What do you expect?
No, like, what am I going to do?
Hey,
you
know? Get control of your kid, buddy.
Yeah, I know, but you can't.
Right. I know, she can't.
I can't. There's nothing I can do.
Well, the ones that I feel really bad for are like when it's a one-year-old. Or, because like, once our kids could pay attention to TV, then flights were fine. Because I just watch TV the whole time. But when you have a 12-month-old or a 16-month-old that don't have that attention span, they won't watch a show yet. They want to walk.
Yeah.
They want to crawl on you. They want to be on your lap. They want to be off your lap. They just want to move. They don't understand that they have to stay in their seat. And those are the ones that I really feel bad for because you can't reason with them either.
No.
You know. And so but if there's a 5-year-old being just like a little jerky little kid on a plane, then I do judge the parents. Absolutely.
Because this is your fault. This is your fault.
The problem is
you created this.
Brooklyn, she doesn't like to sit down and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Like she has no – she wants to be outside or she wants –
Is this your oldest? Your
youngest.
This is your youngest.
Yeah, she's four. She doesn't not – I cannot put her in front of the iPad until nighttime, so that's how she'll go to sleep.
Right.
But during the day, she does not like watching cartoons that much.
Interesting.
Like the other kids, Jack was just like, Mater. Yeah, good, Jack.
Yeah.
Watch that for another 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
Yeah.
Enough about kids.
I
know.
Man.
So
but that's a problem. They rule our life.
Well, they
they rule. Last night I was like, who said it was a good idea to have kids?
I don't know.
No one joking, probably. Of course. But right. I'm like, you don't. Sometimes you don't even get one second to just, hey, honey. Hi. Ma.
I mean, well, look, just, we weren't even talking about kids. We were talking about what shows we watch. And it goes back to the kids because you realize you can't watch a show until they're gone to bed.
Right.
By which time. You fall asleep.
11:30. We went to bed, and that's too late.
Yeah,
because well, they get up early.
Yeah, no that's the thing is, I you know, reason would say the later, you know, kids go to bed, they should sleep the same amount, and so you know, if they normally go to bed at 7 and wake up at 7, if they go to bed at 9 on a special night, maybe they'll sleep until 9.
No, midnight still 7.
Well, yeah, that's
still
the thing.
5:45.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And well, now guess what we have in our bed? We have so me and Linda, we have the 3-year-old, we have a 100-pound Rhodesian Ridgeback. And we have a 15-pound, 16-year-old like lump of a dog that barely
dude,
made it through a coyote attack.
You
a
are
month
in
ago.
Tight quarters over there.
Oh, dude, you can't even move. You can't move.
I know, and that doesn't help, by the way.
Which part?
The stress of the situation.
Oh no, because you're not sleeping.
Well, because you're just like I don't even know where I gotta go. I gotta go to the bar.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I gotta leave the house. I gotta get out of here. Escape
I should
from Alcatraz.
Get wise to the fact that there's like now there's empty beds. Like now I know there's empty beds. I'll go sleep in one of those.
Oh yeah, I've done that before.
I should do that more.
Yeah,
I do that. I like it.
But we were watching Dateline the other night. We stayed up till 1 a.m.
It's a terrible idea watching
no, it was
Dateline
great.
Before
it was
you
some,
go to bed.
No, but it was some.
You love those shows, don't
I
you?
I love those shows, man. It's
do you
like
just
an
love
addiction.
Them?
Yeah.
Because Dateline is Dateline all crime stuff?
It's this one
mostly.
Was some. It was some like he said like this. It was a terrible story, obviously, but like the guy, the father was denying that he did it, and that he was blaming it on this ex-con, and it was like a 2-hour episode.
Oh,
I'm like, they
no,
never
they
do 2-hour episodes.
Wow,
man.
That's a good one. If it's
we,
2 hours,
yeah, we still have to
Sheree loves that stuff. I can't watch it before bed.
Why?
Just because it's murder and just death and
just put the alarm on and go sleep in the kids' room.
Pound a fifth, go to bed. You won't remember Dateline.
Comatose.
All right.
Yeah.
So
after
let's get to the business part here.
After growing up dancing and stuff, what sent you to think, oh, you know what? I could maybe do this for a living. Like where did that transition between or were your parents always like, you're going to be an actor for
No. They didn't make me make a choice about being an actor. They kind of I know there was a moment in high school where I'd already done some acting. My sister was on a series up in Canada called Road to Avonlea. It was
a
Disney show. It's like an Anna Green Gables type thing.
Yeah.
Mm. And we'd have to like drag the dining table into the living room every Sunday night and watch the show while we ate dinner. I'm like, this sucks.
TV dinners?
Yeah.
Oh, nice, dude. Like a little Stouffer's. Do you guys have Stouffer's?
No. My parents would always cook.
Oh, they would
have like.
No, you'd have to watch it for dinner time. His
yeah, we'd have to
show.
Watch her show.
No, I understand. I just I wasn't sure if it was TV dinner.
No. Oh. We never.
That just made it more of like a time period. Like that was the 80s for. Like when we watched TV and ate.
Did you have
we had TV dinners?
You had those kinds of things?
Oh, yeah, dude. The plastic tray. And
you
know, you get the little cherry pie in one plastic.
Oh, damn. I've never eaten one of those in my life.
Oh, yeah, dude, they were so good.
That's probably why you're pretty healthy.
Are you an only child?
No, I had a sister.
Oh, you had?
No, I have a sister.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Dude, that's what happened.
In the 80s, that was
80s,
like. That was,
did you eat those things?
Yeah, Swanson's.
Swanson's, Stouffer's, oh, Hungry
yeah.
Man.
Hungry Man, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Chef Boyardee.
Chicken pot pie.
Well, Chef Boyardee sure. is just like a can of...
That's ravioli, can of ravioli.
Do you remember Cordon Suisse? They were like Costco bought frozen...
I found them at Whole Foods.
Did you really?
Barber Foods?
Yeah.
The little chicken cutlet with a cordon bleu inside.
With
a melted little...
ham and cheeses?
Yeah, right? Dude, I found it.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I flipped
out.
Look
how excited he is.
Dude, they're amazing.
I flipped out. Because you know what? I found it at Whole Foods, and I'm like, I didn't know they were healthy.
Now they're healthy. Yeah, exactly. You got to stamp the Whole Foods
stamp
of approval.
The chicken Kiev ones, too, with the butter, herb
yeah,
butter
oh,
and sauce.
Yeah, that's great, too,
right?
Man.
Dude, I bought them for my kids because I was like, hey, one thing for my childhood that I
ate. Slice of my life right
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. This is a sad day, gentlemen.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe
this
it.
This is a
that
sad day.
Don't be jealous you never had it before. You can go to Whole Foods and buy
dude,
it, too,
you,
man.
You'll eat out stuff out of Whole Foods. Next time we're on the road and you're like, oh, look, Whole Foods, I'll get you a little microwave.
Are you anti-Whole Foods or something like that?
Not at all.
No, he loves it.
That's where we eat, on the road.
Yes, yeah.
It's the only place you can get anything good.
That's right. See, Cracker Barrel.
If you want your head to be the size of a buffalo the next day,
the sodium, oh,
go
man.
To Cracker Barrel.
I used to love Cracker Barrel.
Oh, dude, I used to crush chicken fried steak.
Except they don't have a
bacon.
You can't get a beer at Cracker Barrel.
Well, yeah, it's an imbalanced meal.
Yeah.
Well, and
you
then
get shepherd's pie though, which is kind of
it's amazing. And then you leave and you're getting about a pound of candy on the way out.
I know.
So they're just trying to kill
that's
you.
That's why they sell chairs because you gotta get reinforced furniture when you leave.
You gotta sit there and relax. That's how you digest, bro.
That's
you
how
sit
you
in the rocking chair,
yeah,
and you play checkers.
Oh, I see. You're right.
For about a half hour.
Right. You got to work off your meal.
100%.
Yeah.
This
working off playing checkers.
5 calories every 3 hours. Yeah. This is what this
king
birds.
Me. I'm going back for more.
King me. Free meal. Oh man.
So you saw your sister succeeding, and you're like, oh, I need some of that. I'm jealous, or what?
I want you guys to have your Swanson while you're watching me. You know, no, I don't even know how it started. She had an agent. I when I turned 11, so my dad had a theater school. Him and my mom started like this summer theater school where once you turn 5, 6, 7 years old, you could join the junior school and you do acting classes and dance classes and all
cool.
that kind
yeah,
of shit.
That's great.
And then if you're 15 and up, you did a senior school version of that where you did 3-4 weeks of classes and then you put on a musical.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
And my mom would do all the costumes and my dad would direct and choreograph the whole thing.
Oh, gosh.
So every summer I would go and do that. And then I kind of knew by the time I was 10, 11, I was like, it's fun to do. And my dad said, well, do you want to go meet your sister's agent in Toronto?
Yeah,
so I met
yeah.
the agent and they signed me. And I started doing auditions, and I booked, like, my second audition was that FX2 movie I did with Brian Brown. And
oh, yeah, I remember that
Brian
movie.
Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
But,
Hamilton is how close to Toronto?
40 minutes away.
Right,
oh,
so, and there's so much work out of Toronto. I mean, that's, if you're in...
Well, that's where you have to go.
That's where you have to go.
If you
want
to do anything other than stage, you got
to
go
there. It's just there, right, yeah.
Even stage, too, you got to go to Toronto if you want to do professional stage.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I didn't really take it seriously until I turned 18 when I had to make a decision about dropping out of school.
Yeah. Well, not dropping out, just
no, I
not
did
going.
Drop out. No, I did drop out. I started,
out
I did,
of high school?
No, college.
Oh,
I graduated
yeah.
high school.
Yeah, yeah.
So you started college but then quickly stopped.
I dropped out in after 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
you were thanks.
Were you studying theater?
Being told what to do, which is weird because you're an
you
actor.
Still
you
don't.
Told what to do all the time.
Yeah.
You know? But,
were you studying theater, though?
Well, I went to a school that allowed me to pursue professional work while I was a student.
Okay.
A lot of these schools.
In Toronto or where?
In Toronto, University of Toronto. A lot of these schools in Toronto don't, like the colleges that would harness your acting ability. And,
right. They want to say they want you there for 4 years.
Exactly.
Because they don't want you to.
It's kind of weird.
They want to put their mark on you before you go out and
well, they
and
want
try and,
they want your money is what they
right, exactly.
Right.
Right.
But they don't want your training to be corrupted. By,
right.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to go to one of those schools.
Right. I get it.
Because I didn't really see that was like a benefit for someone who's going to do TV and film anyway.
Well, it depends. Also, it depends on what your type is. Like at theater school, I went to school with some kids that just didn't look their age. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like you're 19, but you're not going to. No one's going to hire you to play a 19-year-old because you're either super character-y or like their working years were going to come later. But then there's some kids that are right in that zone to play high school and college kids. Like, you know, and this was for theater. Like, no one's going to play. There are certain guys that, you know, weren't going to play their age on stage, right?
Right.
Maybe because we weren't training for television at musical theater school. But then, you know, I had friends, like, I was in college with Kristen Bell, and she, sophomore year, she, you know, started working on Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, and NYU allowed kids to go do that. You had to kind of negotiate it a bit. But yeah, but so NYU was one of those schools where you could. But that's the thing is, once you leave, even if you have a plan to come back,
you don't really want to come
back. If you start working, it's hard.
It's also boring. Like, if you go into the wrong program, like, I was kind of in the wrong program.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less about half the shit I was learning. Like,
yeah.
I took an astronomy course just to fill up the slate, you know? Like,
right.
Like I'm learning about the stars right now. Like, I don't care about that.
Well, I don't care.
Well, I can do that on my own time.
Now
it'd
be,
I mean,
more, like, interesting.
Yeah.
But back then, you don't care.
It's all more interesting when you discover it on your own. Like, sure. Like, I was learning about Sophocles. Like, I didn't want to read Sophocles when I was there. But, you know, when I quit, I started checking it out.
Yeah. But when you're an adult, it's nice to know how to say Sophocles. So
it is
good that you learned it then.
Yeah, I don't remember it even now. But.
Right. Right. Yeah. So
imagine how they messed up his name.
I know.
Sophocles. Is there a Sophocles here?
Do an attendance.
Yeah. Mr. Sophocles.
Sophocles. Mr. Safufu.
Safuzub. Oh, man.
So you left school and then
I booked I left school. I came down here. My sister was doing a movie down here.
Okay.
And so I came down while she was shooting.
Down here being L.A.
Being L.A.
Yeah.
I was 18. I met her manager.
Okay.
She signed me.
So, dude, you're on your sister's back the whole way.
I kind of was. Yeah. I kind of was, man.
That's great. I hope she's reaping the benefits right now.
She's doing pretty good, man. She's
okay,
not
good.
Really. She made the decision to go to school and leave the business.
Yeah.
Because she had been on that show for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And was kind of like just that.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know? We don't understand what that's like.
Right.
So she went to school and then came out, and that's when she booked that movie.
Yeah.
And then kind of decided she wanted to be, like, in the family.
Oh, your sister's Daphne
more.
Zuniga.
What?
Zimproni Zuniga.
So dumb.
Daphne Zuniga.
Who's one that? Person listening to this
got knows that who that is.
Got that.
No,
is that
she's
the
girl
from
Spaceballs.
The Welsh.
Huh? She's the girl from Spaceballs.
She was 80s.
Yeah.
Big 80s.
She just has a last name with a Z. So
right.
I was another confusing your name joke is what it was.
No, I was thinking of the maid from Frasier, but that's not her fault.
No, no.
Not even close.
I know who you're talking about.
All right. Anyway, sorry.
So you were down here at 18 years old.
I was down here at 18.
Wow.
I got off the plane. So I came down and stayed with her for a little bit, right? I got off the plane, went to her manager's, met her manager. I said, I got to leave. I got to go back and drop out of school.
Can't do that.
And
over
I'll
the,
be back
can't
in
Can't do that
two
over the
weeks.
Phone?
No, I had to move out of my residence.
Oh, okay.
So I went back. I moved out. I dropped out. I came back down. I got off the plane. I drove straight to William Morris. Had a meeting with William Morris. Got signed by William Morris.
No.
What?
Oh, yeah. The minute.
That's amazing. Do people work their whole lives to get with William
it
Morris?
It was crazy. I walked into their office.
Did you
and
have
there
that spiked
hair
at that
point? 10 agents in the room waiting for me to walk in. And I signed on for that pilot season with, and I tested for a couple things,
yeah.
And it was cool. It was,
yeah.
It was weird, man. It was like,
that's, you were like throwing
did you
right
know,
into
did
the
you,
A
yeah.
game.
Did you have a sense of what was happening? Like, in terms of, like, at 18, you're like, ah, it's a meeting. Or like, oh my God, I'm going into William Morris. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Or was it like, eh?
No, I don't think I really knew.
Right.
Like, I knew William Morris was a good agency.
You didn't have any perspective on it, though, at that point. Right,
no.
Sure.
I mean, okay. I walked in, and he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to bring everyone else in the room. I'm like, what do you mean? Who's everyone else? And then everyone came in the room. I'm like, oh, hey. And they were like, oh, yeah, he's great. Well, I got this project. And they started throwing up projects that they were going to – I was like, this is kind of cool.
Right.
And then
did
you just meet them, and
did you
have to audition?
Did you
no, I just walked in and met Jonathan Howard, who was with William Morris at the time. And he said – you know, almost on the spot, like, this is happening, and I'm bringing everyone in to meet you right now.
Wow.
And from there, we hit the ground. And that was back in the day where, like, you'd do, like, 3-4 auditions in a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you just drive
you'd have
audition
your whole
audition
wardrobe in your car.
Yeah, you have, like, the Thomas Guide and just...
totally.
Man.
Right. No
different world.
No Google on your phone, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And then?
And then, well, I didn't book anything, so I moved back. And
you moved back to Canada?
Well, I had to go back. I didn't have a green card. I didn't have a visa.
Oh,
I didn't have anything.
Oh, sure. You need to book work before you can
stay.
You
gotta,
yeah, right.
You got to get something, right?
Yeah.
So I moved back, and then I booked a series in Vancouver, and that's how I moved to Vancouver.
Oh, Right. And that was like the ever...
Edgemont.
I knew
So
it.
Is that a different agent up there in Toronto?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But you booked that in Toronto, that shot in Vancouver?
I taped it. I did a self-tape and then sent it to Vancouver.
Self-tape
and
in
booked it.
1999?
Sorry, it wasn't a self-tape. I think they actually had a casting office do a tape.
Yeah,
right. And sent the
put
tape.
You on tape. Yeah.
So that was 2001, 2002?
99.
Oh, I was 99, right.
2000?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, that went how long, that series?
5 years.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I peaked.
It's all downhill.
I've seen clips from that. You had that like flat top.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I want to see this.
Oh, it was terrible.
Dude, he had...
No,
he
wasn't terrible. It's not terrible. Actually, it was in.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Not sure.
I don't know if it was in or not.
Not sure what I was doing.
I mean, you learned to brood on that show, though, right? Because that was like a school-based show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very soap-like.
Yeah, that's actually. Why the clips that I've seen of it, like, I was like, oh, this was good training ground for soap brooding because there was a little bit. It was you know, like a high school. It was soapy, yeah.
High school soap. Teen angst,
yeah.
Like Degrassi kind of. Like,
yeah,
like
that thing's been on 100 years up there, right?
Didn't you do a Degrassi? Because that's a Canadian show too, right?
I never did Degrassi.
That's a long running.
I don't think Degrassi was on when I was shooting that show, and then it came back afterwards. It was on before,
but
like in the 80s and 90s, and then
was it a Canadian show though?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
CBC show. But Edgemont kicked off a lot of people, man. Like Kristen Crook.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that was the first acting gig she ever had.
Yeah.
Grace Park. It was one of the first acting gigs she ever had. She's on Hawaii 50.
Lost.
Was on Hawaii
50. What was her first job before Hawaii 50? Was it? She.
Well, Battlestar.
Battlestar. Not Lost. Battlestar.
That kind of put her on the map.
Yeah, Battlestar. Right. Yeah.
That was a cool show.
Yeah. That was a Canadian show too, right?
Well, it shot up there, but it was American.
Yeah. Yeah, but a lot of
sci-fi.
Yeah, channel. some of the regulars were Canadian. Mm-hmm. So 5 years of that. What was that was a life changing job, right? I mean, your life.
It brought me to Vancouver,
right?
I met Linda, and then that kind of started, you know, my desire to leave Toronto and see what kind of work was out west, you know, because it's a different game. Like what shoots in Toronto at the time didn't shoot in Vancouver. Vancouver was all sci-fi stuff,
right?
And Toronto had a little bit of sci-fi stuff, but it was mostly, you know, series and cop dramas and all that kind of stuff. So.
But that was your first real regular paycheck? Yeah?
That was.
Yeah. So that's life-changing in a way.
Yeah.
Right?
Number one on the call sheet. Like, that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's an experience. You know, when you feel like you're carrying a show or expected to.
Yeah. Or expected to.
Not saying I did it all. You realize what you have when that happens to you at 19 or 20.
Sure.
Like, you take that for granted, man. When you get an opportunity like that, you don't realize... It's a lot to kind of take on.
It's a big deal, man.
Yeah, and so sometimes I think, oh, I wish I could go back and be a little more mature about what I did and how I handled it and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, when I got this and came down here, you know, you're ready. You're an adult, and you're ready to kind of, you know, take responsibility for yourself a little bit more.
What year was that when you how did you audition for this?
Here?
Yeah.
2009. Self-tape.
Self-tape, and you got it from self-tape.
No, I had to come down.
You came down.
They called me up and they said they want you to come down and audition in with Jill and stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, they're going to fly me down. She's like, nope. I was like, okay.
Okay, great. I'll take a Greyhound.
Yeah. That'll so I flew down over the course of like 3 days, and I'd left my motorcycle.
Took
at
my three
buddy's
days
place.
To fly.
That
was
I did. It was
crap
a lot. Yeah, well, I had no money at the time, man.
You're taking puddle jumpers from like
town
boat
to town.
To boat.
Yeah.
and you had your motorcycle.
Yeah, I picked it up in Palisades, my buddy's house, and I spent the night at the Best Western in Santa Monica, and I Skyped my friend who did the audition with me that got me the call back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I woke up in the morning and burned over here and did it and got called 10 minutes after I left.
Saying you got it.
Saying they were getting my visa because I booked it.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow.
Which is like winning the lottery. You know, to me as a Canadian, like trying to get down here.
So do they get your O-1? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? The unique abilities, the special abilities.
Person of extraordinary ability.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's
like the Greatest Showman sequel.
Oh my God!
Person
yeah.
of extraordinary ability.
Did you like frame it in like this means I'm special? Like I just because the language of it. Is
no, you kind of feel like a bit of a jackass because it's just like send us everything you have. It's like, do you want like. good things, like, no, we just want everything, like every single article, everything that your name has been mentioned in, like you give them a stack as high as you can.
But when the show does it, you don't have to do that, right?
No, the show did it.
The show, but they don't have to, like, comprise all your individual stuff. They just have to say, we want him, so that's enough?
No. So the show says, we're going to file for your visa. We're going to put you in touch with
a lawyer.
A lawyer. Yeah. The lawyer's going to tell you everything you need.
Oh, man.
So you had 2 weeks. So I had to,
wow.
I had to get him everything within 10 days so that he could file it within 2 weeks, and then you found out a week or two later that whether you got
so they
visa.
Can
wow.
So they can say, no, ABC, you can't have him
because he's not extraordinary enough. Right, they
can
say he's not extraordinary enough.
No, we need him to stay in Canada.
Yeah.
He is not extraordinary.
We can't lose him.
We can't.
Can't lose that extraordinary ability.
Because I did a movie in Canada in 2006, and I met a girl, and we started dating, and she was thinking about moving to L.A., and so she was looking into that process. Mm. And I looked at the application, and it said, you know, list every accolade you've ever won, i.e. Oscars, i.e. Emmy, i.e. And, like, and that is just – that might help your application process. Oh, if I won an Oscar, that might – help,
I know,
but
right?
Wouldn't guarantee that I would be able to come,
right, which is ridiculous.
What? Like, yeah. So that just I can't imagine what the stress of that is for a Canadian that wants to work here. Like,
it sucks. It sucked more going across the border. I used to go across the border and get harassed, man.
Oh yeah,
all the time. I'd go across, like, I took my dogs and across the country one time, and I cut down in Detroit, and the dude's like, you got to go into that garage over there. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm sorry, man.
Have you seen Midnight Express?
Right, wait, he's like, wait, are the dogs extraordinary too?
Yeah. They're coming.
This dog on Edgemont? Edgeville? What was it called?
Edgemont. You had it right the first time, but don't act like you don't know what it is.
I just Googled it. I had to see your hair and your face.
Did you see my flex photo?
Dude, I saw your head.
Oh, man.
I saw a young Dom head.
Like 18, 19. Crazy.
That's amazing.
But so what did they looked at the visa and they're like, oh, what's extraordinary? Like, how do they jazz you about? Was it about the visa specifically? Or
when I was doing the road trip?
Yeah.
No, that was before I had a visa. I'm just saying, like, in the years leading up, because you said it was stressful. Like,
yeah.
So it is.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of, you start to, like, get, like your blood pressure rise every time you get
to
the border
totally.
Because
I mean,
you're scared you're going to get turned away.
Yeah.
So I pulled into the guy was apologetic. He's like, sorry, man, you got to go into the garage. I'm like, what? I'm just driving.
Right.
I'm just driving. I'm not even coming here. I was going through Detroit.
Who wants to go to Detroit?
I love Detroit, personally, but I wasn't going. You're not going to get an acting job in Detroit, especially not 15 years ago, you know?
Right, sure, yeah.
So I pull into this garage, and this girl comes out of the booth, and she's like, get out of the car, sir. And I was like, what? I was like, okay. So I get
yes,
out of the car.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. She's like, empty your pockets onto the table. And I'm like, empty. All right. So I just pull out my stuff and I throw in stuff, my joints and everything.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
She's like, no, pull out your pockets. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, pull them out. She wanted to see them hanging out of my jeans. She was really angry. I'm like, I don't know what I did, you know, to this point. And she's like, get the dogs out of the car. So I get the dogs out of the car. And she starts rooting through the car and picking up, like, pulling stuff out. And I'm like, you know, like, I didn't know if they were going to start trying to tear up the seats and shit.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm just driving home. Like, I'm just driving to see my family. Like, this is traumatic, you know?
Yeah. and dramatic.
Yeah.
Traumatic and dramatic, yes.
And so this guy comes out of the booth and he's like, you ever been to Haiti? I said, what? He's like, you ever been to Haiti? And I said, no, I've never been to Haiti. He says he's never been to Haiti. Says, here, you've been to Haiti. And I'm like, no, man, I don't know what.
Where? Says where?
Were you wearing
he's
a white
talking to some other guy
were
on
you
a computer
a white
screen.
Were you wearing a white linen shirt?
Oh.
They have a picture of you in Haiti.
I'm smoking a cigar.
It might have been like a still from when you did Gilligan's Island or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's the one time that being
really
that's
career.
The one time that being like ethnically ambiguous didn't work for you.
Right? Yeah, it's like we know. So I'm like, dude, I promise you, I've never been to Haiti. He's like, he says he's never been to Haiti. And he says, well, this guy says you have. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Who's
like,
this guy?
Yeah, some guy. I couldn't see him. He was like around the bend.
Is it a freaking?
Was this like a test?
I
like
don't know.
Trying to like
this is amazing.
Make you to make a mistake. Like, and he lied to us.
This
and
is a bad.
It's like your eye exam. Like, what letter is this?
Right. Yeah. After school special.
And this was in the States, not in.
This
was
on the border going into Michigan.
Right. So U.S. Border Patrol.
Yeah. U.S. Border Patrol.
Yeah. Wow.
So he goes.
That's funny.
He goes, you've been to Mexico? I said, yep. He's like, have you been to? Italy? I said, yeah. He's like, but you've never been to Haiti. I said, no, I've never been to Haiti. He said, all right, go ahead.
Dude, it's like
what are you talking about?
You know what it is? It's like the robot test. Are you a robot on the computer now? Click these pictures, and if you click
the right ones, they were trying to capture you.
Yeah. No, and then now they make you click more.
Right, exactly.
It refreshes.
So like, now it's annoying. It's like, come on, just verify this shit already, man. Like, yeah. How many times do I got to do this?
It says click the bridge.
Yeah.
Is that a bridge or not a bridge?
I think the storefront. How many storefront? I mean, I don't know. Is that considered a storefront or not?
They're not HD images. They're right? stock images from like 78. Oh,
yeah, totally, man.
Yeah. Come on.
Totally. Yeah.
So good.
Wow. So you move down here.
Yeah, so the visa was a massive thing, man. When I say it was like winning the lottery, it felt literally like I won the lottery.
And is it a period of years or is it as long as the – because you have to reapply every couple years?
No, so the visa lasts 4 years, but 1 year into it, I filed for my green card and got my green card.
Nice.
Okay.
Which felt amazing too, you know.
Right.
Where did you move when you came down here?
5 minutes from here.
5 minutes from the studio.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That was an easy commute.
Totally.
That was a great place.
That's a great idea.
That little place?
What was built into a hill kind
of? Yeah, kinda, yeah.
Yeah, so
with no sidewalks.
Not great for like walking.
You were in the hills, right? Yeah. Right above.
But it was
the studio?
super charming.
No, more like Silver Lake, like over.
Oh, cool.
Next to.
Yeah.
Adjacent.
So how
right up the street from Lisa LeCicero, right?
Yeah, she's the reason I got that place. Right, she took it out for lunch.
Super
when
close
I got
to
the
ma.
Place.
Nice.
To ma, my ma.
Nice.
Your ma. And your wife came with you as well, obviously. So
she came about 6 months later.
Did you have to do any crazy paperwork for her at the time?
She got a visa.
This guy is so fascinated
with the paperwork.
We spent an hour on.
Do you have a plan on like going to get paperwork somewhere?
What is this? This guy's like working for the DMV. You're like.
No, I'm getting deported right now. That's what's going to happen.
I don't know what's happening.
The door's going to bust open in a second. The IRS is going to show up.
A half hour at immigration.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. I'm sorry.
But yeah, she came here and I misinformed her that she would actually be able to have a life when she got here.
Oh, she couldn't work. She couldn't work, right?
She couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I said, what can my wife do to the lawyer, and he said she can sit on the couch and eat bonbons. I'm like,
I'm in.
Like, can we trade?
Honey, can you get a job and I'll do that?
That was tough for her for a while, man, because she knows you had a life and all that stuff up there and down here. She had like we were doing crazy hours back.
Yeah, when you started working here, you were non-stop.
Everyone is when they first start.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Were you Dante then or Dominic?
It was Dominic for the first 6 months.
Dude, that was in the era of the show when every actor they hired
had their real name.
Had their real name, Franco.
It was amazing,
dude. Didn't?
But Bob never admitted that. I said, did you decide this? Oh yeah, that was always the plan. I'm like, oh
yeah.
I'm like, I didn't.
So if I hire a guy named Robert, it wasn't going to be Bobby, and then Billy.
Well, and there was also, like, there was a couple characters where there was a couple guys, like, there was a Nathan on the show, but there was another actor named Nathan. There was an actor named Nathan and a character named Nathan.
Oh, there was a character named Nathan.
And it was just, like, there were so many names that were, some people played characters that were their same names, but then there was characters that had the same name of other actors.
Of other actors.
It got really confusing around here for a bit. Yeah. And so you were Dominic for a bit, and then you became Dante.
Dante.
And the thing is, tracking the hair game, going from the spiky.
Oh, like, I remember you even said to me one day when I got here, you're like, you kind of stole my hairstyle. Yeah, I
did. And it just got more and more shaggy.
It got longer and longer. Yeah. Man.
Was it feathered at a point too?
I mean, I didn't physically do anything.
You had some good hair though. You had a good run.
I had a good run.
You had the good hair run in the chains, buddy.
I was jealous.
Was that a character choice or was that just like, hey, this is Dominic right now? Or
no, I had stopped wearing those chains years before.
Yeah.
I chose to put those back on.
Yeah.
Because I was like, come on, he's an Italian kid from
New
York.
That's like John Wick opening up his gun closet, right?
So yeah.
You're at home, you're walking to
those are good movies, by the way.
Yeah,
they are. Right?
John Wick is great.
Great.
I hear that dude can do stuff like Navy SEALs can't do.
Keanu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a beast.
Keanu?
Canoe Zanuzi. Yeah.
Poor guy in Canoe school. Zanuzi. Can you imagine his name getting butchered too? So you put the chains back on.
Put the chains
on.
I didn't really mean to let the hair grow, nor did I mean to steal your hairstyle.
That's all right.
We had a lot of fun. Yeah. 10 years we had some good stories.
We did have fun, man. I was thinking about that on the way over here. Like we had a lot of laughs.
We had a lot of laughs, dude. I tell them on the road all the time where I punched you. I don't even know if you remember this story.
And you're in Jason's apartment?
Yes. I remember yeah. that. So remember Scott Reeves couldn't get the door open like five times because Scott was just – he yeah. just was Scott. He yeah. couldn't – half the time it was locked and then it wasn't locked. Yeah. And we're like, dude. And he tries to open it. So the first time he opens it and it's locked – or he tries to open it, it's locked, right? Yeah. And we're like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, props, unlock the door, whatever. Again, he goes, it's stuck, right? And we start laughing a little bit. And there was the third time he goes, and then he couldn't open it, so he just stayed there. Like, he just stayed there. Like, we're like, oh, we see you. We see you, dude. You're still here. And then we started laughing. And then so Maurice always told me that pain stops the laughing. So I was punching my leg. And you're like, you're laughing. You're like, you're so idiot. What are you doing? What are you doing? I go, dude, it works. It makes me stop. You're like, punch me. And I punch you. You're like, oh, you mother.
You give me a damn Charlie horse.
Dude, it was amazing. That was a tough one to get through.
Oh, man. It was kind of fun. Like at least back, like I felt like we could get away with.
Like have fun?
Yeah, like we could laugh at stuff and you know, the crew was into it. Like,
yeah,
they would laugh when we were laughing. Like, you didn't feel like, shit, we're laughing and they're all miserable about it.
Right.
Like, it was
like, come on, a-holes.
Right.
Do your job. We got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I mean, some people would say that, but then they'd be laughing about it, like, sure. as they're saying it. Like,
yeah, it was fun. We had some good times. Good story, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, like, when the rest of the time is, well, also when they know the guys that are joking around are not going to be the ones that hold up production because they don't know their stuff right. yeah. or they're, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Too. Having a moment of levity amidst good work
mm-hmm.
is nice, right?
And yeah, absolutely.
It's necessary.
Everyone appreciates
it.
You have to have it. Especially when you're doing as much as what, because we were doing, I feel like we were doing like 15-hour days back then. I remember being here like 7 a.m. till 10 p.m. sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, especially when they were doing like the big sweep storylines and the action storylines.
Yeah, we did a lot of action and cop stuff and mob stuff.
Well, and that's the thing is like, you had a great, your character was perfectly integrated in the fact that you could, you know, you were part of the mob storyline because of Sonny, but then you were the cop that had to be part of it too. So you could be in all the storylines in that respect.
Yeah, which I'm sure everyone loved.
Yeah,
they did. Dude.
New guy coming in is in every story.
Yeah, but you were great. You were great, man. I mean, yeah.
Thanks, dude.
You came in. You're a great actor, and just you fell right into it. And it's hard. That's hard to do.
I feel like
it's hard to do.
We spent more time on scenes though back then too. You know, didn't we? Or didn't we? We had a different rehearsal schedule too, right?
Yeah, there was no rehearsal or like whatever we do now. No,
it was the
morning thing.
Yeah, the morning block.
Yeah, you would.
We didn't. Do
you would. No. You would block rehearse shoot.
Yeah, you'd have a little time to talk about.
You'd get like they'd call up items, you know, 1 through 6.
Yeah.
Then you'd rehearse. You'd block them all in that moment. Then just rehearse shoot.
Right.
So it was much more. You didn't rehearse something at 7:30 and then not go back and shoot it till 11. So your run here was, well, I mean, I guess it's still...
it's over now!
You're such an idiot.
It's still going now.
We have breaking news, though.
Yeah, right.
What's he's coming news? Back full time.
Yeah, I signed it the other day.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I signed the deal. No, I'm kidding.
This is a son of a bitch, because I told him, I go, dude, just come back. Every time I see him, I go, congratulations for coming back.
Yeah, right.
He goes, oh, you know, but...
I don't think they secretly want me back. I think they want to just have me for like little 2-week ventures.
It's
know?
Not, well, dude, it's not a bad
it's
gig.
It's not a bad gig, though, right?
No, it's an amazing gig.
Yeah, so you did the What If episode with Mo, and then you just came. You're back now. You're in the middle of another run right now. Here.
Yeah, we did 6 episodes, and I got 4 more.
You got 4 more.
I signed a 10 episode deal. Basically.
Sweet.
Oh, okay. Really? You had to sign a deal for that?
I did. Yeah. I don't know why. Cool.
That's interesting.
Good. That's good.
Huh?
I like it.
Yeah. No. That's
technically, I'm under contract right now.
Interesting, because I've been recurring since 2013.
I was going to ask you.
Well, please don't ask. Please, for the love of God, Dom, don't ask him about. Don't ask him. You want to be here for another hour?
Oh man,
we
do an
hour.
Doing for the last 6 years.
Yeah, exactly right. So what do you got going now?
That was organic, bro.
That was really natural. No wonder you're recurring.
What are you doing now?
You're such a natural.
You're a good actor.
Really good. So you got it. You're working on a new show.
It's
Amazon?
Show called Tin Star. It's on Amazon. It's with Tim Roth and Christina Hendricks. And,
Tin Star.
Tin Star.
Is it like Pushing Tin, the old movie?
Like that at all.
You're not air traffic controllers?
No.
Okay. When did you shoot this?
Last summer.
Last summer. I remember we talked about this is right when you were shooting it.
I started it when I left here, or right before I left here. And I shot it up until mid-end of July or something like that.
Nice.
I went back and forth to
So Calgary how many show. Episodes is this first season?
This is the second season of the show.
Okay, second season.
I did five of the nine, I think.
Okay, cool, man.
Nine or ten, I don't know.
What kind of character are you playing?
I play a Guatemalan drug runner.
Dude. Have you been to Haiti?
I have now. For research, bro.
Wow, that's do you have to have an accent?
Yeah, I actually have to speak like a lot of Spanish.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you afraid?
I was scared.
Because that would be like my worst.
Well, look how white you are. I'd be scared of that too.
No, I'm just really bad at accents.
Are you?
Yeah.
Horrifying.
Oh, it's
really
it's amazingly funny.
It's so man. Bad.
He tried we talked last week about how Ingo's coming back. And Steve's Inger's coming back.
No, it was like a southern. It was weird, man. It was weird. But that would scare me, though. Like,
well,
to get.
You know what?
Did you have to do it for the audition?
No, the audition. So the audition scene was a scene with Christina Hendricks where I'm reciting like the lyrics of a Johnny Cash song. So it was English, but I did like a broken accent.
Oh, cool.
For that. And then. The Spanish stuff, they got me like a dialect coach. And,
yeah.
Because I want it to be pretty specific.
Sure.
Because it's Guatemalan. And it's like if you're Colombian, it's different. If you're Mexican, it's different.
Yeah.
Every place, it's like if you're in Italy, every part of Italy, it's a different Italian.
Did you get hate mail from the Guatemalan Actors Association?
Not yet, because it hasn't aired yet.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's probably coming.
On Twitter. Yeah.
But I tweeted something, like a clip. And I'm speaking Spanish in it, and I played for Maurice, and he's like, you know, you sound actually really great.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
Great.
Hey, if he can't tell the difference.
Right.
You're it.
He's a Nicaraguan guy.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But it was, you know what changes it is like, I feel like when you're acting, you don't like do anything the same, 100% the same way every time, right? I mean, you have little adjustments or you adjust to something you did.
Sure.
You know, that makes me, oh, maybe I'll try it this way or I'll react this differently if you're in it.
Right.
Know,
right.
Which not everybody is.
But that's hard, though, when you're.
When you have an accent, it's hard, right?
Or the accent doesn't make it as hard. The different language when you're doing it makes it kind of tough.
Because you can't, because you don't know it's not second nature to you, so you can't be.
Some of your lines were spoken in Spanish that then had. So someone was watching you with closed captioning, so it was like the reverse situation for you because you watch all your shows with closed captioning.
Yes, I can have subtitles.
Right, so you had subtitles for your lines.
Mm.
That's interesting.
So I'm doing a scene with Tim Roth where I'm speaking Spanish to him, and you can tell he's able to
adjust,
but I kind of can't.
Right.
Well, with the freedom that I want to or
what's
I'm used
it like
to,
working,
so it's a little stressful. You know?
That's it. That's interesting, though.
He's awesome, man.
What's it like working with him?
He's a beast. Like, he's my height, so he's not a big dude.
Right.
But he's...
Just a powerhouse.
He's a powerhouse guy, man.
Just a powerhouse, yeah.
And the last day, he came up and gave me a big hug, and I was like, man, you're a legend. I've never worked with someone that I grew up...
Yeah, the dude's a beast.
...watching every movie that he did. Reservoir Dogs, True Romance,
Four Rooms.
He was in Pulp Fiction, too,
wasn't he? Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Like, every single thing that guy did, you had to see in the 90s, man.
Well, and he's just, he's one of those guys where you can tell that everything is, he's just so present. There's nothing, and he disappears into roles. And just, I would be so intimidated working with him, especially if I was doing an accent. Because sometimes the look on his face is like, I don't buy anything.
Is that all you got? He actually did say to me after, but he meant it in a good way, I think. But he said, what did you do to learn Spanish? And I was like, well, I just, I worked with a dialect coach and learned. He's like, oh, no, it's great. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, not buying any of it, bro.
Rosetta Stone?
man. But it was interesting because he changes a lot of stuff, too.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Not like on the fly,
right?
But in the weeks leading up to, he'll be like, we shot.
So it's kind of like working here. with some other actors. They're like, here are the changes I made.
here's what you're responding to.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Some of your lines are out too.
2 minutes before, cut three of your lines. Right. Yeah. Oh, really?
I love that when people say, "Yeah, I'm just cut this one of yours. You don't need that, right?" No, of course not. Why would I need my line? why would we need my line?
But it's also funny when they change their lines, which they don't realize affects your lines.
How could you not?
I mean,
realize what you're doing.
I'm not going to say that. So
other person.
That you means that I have to say something different. I guess I'll come up with it on the spot. Thanks so much. Yeah.
I'll just be in the moment.
Tim Roth. That's awesome.
No, so we shot something out of sequence, and I got to set, and I was like, I'm meeting him for the first time, basically, and he's like, "How are you, mate?" I'm like, "Good." He's like, "So all that stuff that happens in there, we're gonna fix all that." and I'm like, "So the stuff that happens right before the stuff we're shooting right now, that's all gonna change?" And he's like, "Yeah, but don't worry, it's gonna be great."
Don't worry about that. Just tell me what it is.
I was like, I just want to know what I'm supposed to do. He's like, it's gonna be great. And I'm like, okay.
You gotta trust him enough that he would fix it so everything makes sense.
Totally. And then on the when we ended up shooting that other stuff. I mean, what he kind of does is, especially A, he's Tim Roth. B, he's number one on the call sheet. Like, he's got all these, if he wants to breathe some air into a scene, he does.
Right. Yeah.
And so he takes his time, man, and it's really cool. Kind of fascinating to see take that license. Like, I feel like if we do that here, someone's like, pick up the pace, or if whatever you bring to a scene that might have moments when it airs, they probably
100%
cut it together so that doesn't exist anymore anyway. So the beat that you maybe discovered doesn't happen.
Yeah,
for the audience.
But that's an interesting take on working at Y&R, Eric Braeden, that was his time. Mm. After the countdown, there was no rushing, right? Because here it's rush.
Yeah.
There it started to be, okay, let's go. Yeah. And then as soon as he started the count, he wasn't rushing his moments. Mm. He wasn't rushing the scene. He wasn't which is interesting.
Yeah.
But did they end up getting cut out?
Well, no, I don't know. I didn't really watch. But they can do what they want.
Yeah.
But for mentally, instead of being in the rush, and then sometimes you can feel yourself in the scene trying to talk faster and rush the scene so we can get out of here.
To pick it up, right?
And that was just great that he would just be like, this is my time.
No,
I'm going to do.
This is my time.
That's Darth Vader.
Yeah, I feel like you said for mentally before. I know you said for mentally, but it sounded like for mentally.
Mentally. That's a new business you're going to be in right after this. That's actually Bradford Ferments.
That's
a lot
what I do on stage.
I ferment everything, dude.
He does, right.
So that's coming out in a couple weeks?
It's already out in England. It comes out on Amazon here. The first season's already out. The second season comes out
March 2, March 7th or 8th. Amazon Prime.
Check out the first season. And then Dom will probably be airing here in 3 to 4 weeks. Right?
I think so. Yeah.
Around
March. Well, by the time this airs, maybe
March.
1 week.
I think it's end of March.
Yeah.
Middle
of March, maybe.
Yeah. Start.
Nice. And anything else you want to call?
Are we wrapping this up? Is that what
happened? Yeah. Unfortunately.
Anything else you want to call people's attention?
Unfortunately, we have a bigger name.
You're keeping me away from my family. It's great.
Where's the beer?
I know.
He didn't even offer us a beer.
Why did he have any beers?
Oh, I just thought
it's 9 in the morning.
Dude, I just thought of this.
Not when it airs.
We could just come up and do a podcast. Just do podcasting here and then spend the night.
That's great.
And play video games again.
Dude, oh, my God.
Like, me and Dom used to play video games, dude, all
him
the
too.
Time.
Don't put him out of the circle.
No, either. I know. No, he and I played. But did you guys ever play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did a little bit.
Played a lot of FIFA.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We had some good FIFA matches.
Oh, dude, it was good.
But we had some good boxing matches.
Oh,
man.
Good boxing matches. We had the greatest boxing matches probably ever in the history.
Great, because Steve would sleep here.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And we'd be here all day.
Oh, dude,
and you'd have like a couple hours to kill.
Oh, I know. Tell me how bad you'd love to play that game
sweaty
right now.
From playing boxing.
From playing boxing.
Oh,
dude, we get so mad.
Well, because you wanted to beat. Playing video games with him is infuriating.
Dude,
somehow he always wins. I don't know what it is.
He didn't always win.
No, because I was Holyfield
a lot
of times.
Yeah, Holyfield. That boxing game, we got to play that, man.
Oh, it was amazing.
My God, that was fun.
I know. Yeah. Look how happy we just got.
Just PlayStation.
And I'm going to make it sad because then Donna would call us. She'd be like, I hear you, boys. Like, she'd over the PA, she'd say something, and she'd have heard us on the PA. Yeah. Man, that was crazy coming back and seeing, like, you know, you walk back into the back room and she's not there. That's so
for everybody
sad.
Who's listening, we've talked about it, but Donna Messina, who is our
head of makeup
and hair here, is just our pillar of strength and everything here. For
she's
us.
Just she's this place, man. She's just, you know, her. Like, I feel like her. She's in every vein of this building.
She is. Yeah. She's just one of those people that just impacted so many people in such a positive way and was just the go-to for everything.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, for everything, dude.
She
like,
could talk you down. When
she
you
was the
to
mom
get,
to everyone.
Like, yeah, she was the voice of reason. She could. She had a connection upstairs, so like if you were worried about something, she could give you the comfort that she knew more than you, and it was gonna be okay.
Yeah,
and
she was a buffer to the to the bad people, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, bad people.
And her opinion was so important because you knew that she had seen everything that came through this building. So when she gave
everything.
You her opinion. It really meant something,
yeah,
you know.
She's amazing,
and
and all her pictures are still up in the makeup room. Thank God. To me, it's so surreal, Dom, because you weren't here. She just disappeared.
I know.
She just kind of left without a trace, and it was just like one day you saw her, and then that was it. And so for me, it's being here for 20 years or knowing her for 25 years. Just it's still not like real to me.
Yeah, it feels like she's coming back, right?
Yeah, because I didn't see her go, you know, and I'm just seeing, you know, obviously I know, but it's just it's so weird and so sad. But I see her pictures and I have her picture on my door and I always see her and I'm like, oh, Donna, you know, it's weird when people say, it sounds corny where they're, oh, they're here with us in spirit and alive with
no,
us.
No, she is.
She totally is.
Crazy.
Because I still, it's like, she's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, that's Donna's place in the back and, you know. I'm waiting always for Donna to come in and be like, oh, you're still getting freaking makeup, dude?
Yeah.
Get out of the chair. That's what she would always say to me every day.
Yeah, and I remember I'd come down and she'd be like, oh, there's my Dom. And then you walk to the back and I'd say, hey, did that suck? And she'd be like, go, get out of here. That was amazing. I'd said in, you know, Jim asked for a quote. I don't know if he used it or not, but he said, the memory of her I had was from day one I made a joke that I was getting fired. I always said I was getting fired. I don't know why. I just felt like I was getting fired. You know?
So people would say, "No, Dom, you're so good. You won't
get
fired."
That's not why. I wouldn't say it to anyone but Donna because.
Oh, I see.
Because it would get her. You know, she'd get so angry about my saying that. So at first, I actually believed it, and then I would say it to get a rise out of her, and then I started believing it again.
And before it happened, you just left.
Exactly.
Like, I'm gonna nip this in the bud.
You can't fire. You can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah. But she was a big deal when I left too. Like she's like
awesome.
She's
man.
Like you go. Like if you're not feeling the
whatever
way you want to feel here
yeah.
or getting what you need here, like you go and you'll be fine.
Someone else on the podcast here said that to you too.
Who did?
Me, you bastard! Don't raise your hand, you dirty little Spinelli. I'm like, dude, go, man. Go.
Yes, you did, and that was awesome. And
I don't want you to go because I love you. And
thanks,
And I honestly, I think you're a fantastic actor, and the more we have, the better off we are, and you're an asset to the show. And I know you didn't feel like that all the time, but that being said,
I do right now. I feel like it's, you know, kind of the way it was.
Yeah,
back in the old days.
Yeah,
being back this little stint.
Yeah, and it's great, and hopefully, you know. I know you want to do other stuff, and I know you have your family, and the break is always good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't know if we can. I'll wrap this up, but the thing is, like, when you've, like I said, I came here with the job, right? So I didn't come here other than when I was 18, and meet casting directors.
Yeah.
So for the first eight, nine years I was here, I didn't get out a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because casting people didn't really know who I was.
Right.
I do self tapes all the time, but those don't. Go very far sometimes.
Yeah. So they go further now than they used to. Yeah.
They go further now, especially if the casting people know you.
Correct.
Right. Which so for the last 7 months that I've been gone, I've been getting in rooms and I've been getting pinned for jobs and you start all of a sudden now you have fans out there
who are thinking of you
that are thinking
when
of you.
Stuff comes
so
up,
when you do a tape, you know they're like, oh, I'm going to watch his tape now.
Sure.
So I did tapes, you know, in the last few months that are going to. that lead to me getting pinned for a job, whereas a tape 5 years ago wouldn't have got seen by anybody.
Sure. You got, listen, it's a relationship game.
He told me, man.
You have to get in front of people.
And I'm terrible with relationships. You know what I mean?
Well, your marriage is working out pretty good so far. And you have one friend left.
I got two. Don't you guys?
Maurice.
Only
is
one of you guys
Snapchat.
Is?
Maurice. And
Maurice is my friend. Maurice is my friend. Thank God for Maurice.
Well, dude, we appreciate you coming
awesome,
in.
Man.
Well, it's about time, you know?
Yeah. Don't even do that. Don't even
this is my first podcast ever.
Well, you're great at it.
I've never done a podcast before.
Dude, thank God, because you just I just let him talk. It's amazing.
I know.
I talk too much. You can cut it all out.
You can guest host anytime.
You can cut out whatever you need.
You can guest host for Bradford anytime. As long as you can push the record button, you're fine.
There's a couple times where I'm like, wow, Steve and Dom could just have the room. They've missed each other so much.
Well, the problem was the whole visa hour. And you lost your freaking
pot. It did take up a lot of time. Whatever research you were doing for the government.
Could you make it more obvious that you work for the immigration?
Go in that garage.
Go in that garage. Drive
over there. I'm sorry, man. Turn
out your pockets, bro.
It's not personal.
This won't take long. All right, dude. We love you, brother.
Love
Thanks
you guys
for coming
too.
In, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Tweet of the week.
Yeah, I love these tweets of the week.
I'm gonna riff a little bit.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I just had to riff.
Should I call urgent care?
I had to get it out of me. I had it in me.
Sounded like something got out.
That was
sure.
my Christina Aguilera impression.
It was really close. I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell the difference.
Amazing. Always good to catch up with Dominic, eh?
Yeah, dude, it was fun, man. He's an awesome guy. We had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, it's funny, you know. There are times where he's a very jovial, jokey fellow, but there are times when you know you can't joke with him. Which are even more fun sometimes.
That's when you do joke with him. It's the best because he gets angry. But
thankfully, he wasn't angry. This time around, it was just...
No, man, it was good. We had a great conversation.
It was just all fun. It was great. Okay, well, this tweet comes from someone that will remain nameless. And it's... Okay. I think it's a few weeks ago now. But it is in response to Frank Peruge. that seems to be the best source of negativity is when our boss tweets something.
That's not cool.
So the inspiring tweet that inspired this mean tweet is when Frank tweeted, "Sam crashes a major DOD moment, dawn of day moment." And this person wrote, "Nice to enjoy a Sam scene with an attractive man because it's been a while."
I'm not sure how to take that, but okay. That's amazing.
So I think we have a I think we've got a budding Shiloh fan here, maybe. Is that
we do. I think we do. Yeah, Shiloh is Shiloh the Shyster. That's right.
Yeah.
Donna Day
Shyster. Shiloh Sam.
This person probably thinks Donna Day is real also. So we should tell them that it's not. It's just a TV show.
Just a TV show.
No reason to be so angry.
And it's not a real cult.
No, they have things called therapists to get over this, or books.
Or books.
So, good luck. Check out Audible.
Yeah, right. God, do we still have our promo code for Audible? Oh! All right. Well, thank you for sharing your feelings with us.
Thank you so much.
We always love that. All right, and we have a question here. Now, this is from John. It was a question from back in December relating to the What If episode with Maurice.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
It's funny. When I saw What If, it made me think of those crossovers when we did...
it's fun, right?
With, you know, I remember I did one with Trevor St. John. It was What If Spinelli and Todd Manning Met on a Plane. And that was a good time.
I think we were all on a plane. I was on a plane too.
Well, there was. I think there was something like three sets. It was an elevator, an airplane,
right?
And then I don't know. Maurice did one with Susan Lucci. I think I forget where they were.
I don't know.
Who did you do yours with?
I did mine with Rebecca Budig.
Oh, fun! That was back in the Greenlee days.
Yes, the Greenlee day. It was fun, man. We had a great time.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I think Frank actually directed it too, which was crazy.
I know. That was the first time I met Frank. So, but this What If is about the What If episode with Maurice, where if Sonny's life had gone a different way, right? So this person is curious. He would love to see where Jason would be if it was AJ that was hurt in the accident instead of him.
Yeah, I think Jason probably would have stayed on his medical path for sure, to follow in the footsteps of his mother and father. I think that's kind of where Jason would be.
Yeah.
You know, so that, I mean, it's always I think that would be a great What If episode.
Yeah.
You know, if the accident, that's a great, John, that's a great idea. If the accident happened to AJ instead of Jason, we would see how things change. I think that'd be great.
And our sponsorships would have been like L.L. Bean and
Gap sweaters.
Gap sweater.
Old Navy, wherever they can find the cheapest sweater for Jason and his freaking medical career.
Imagine how many cows would have been saved from needing less leather.
Hey, it's only been two jackets, dude. That's less than one cow. I saved cow!
Amazing.
And the jacket you bought me for the road's not even leather.
I'm looking out for the cows, man.
So do I get a cow credit, kind of like a carbon credit?
That's right, right? Yeah, no, you're giving back. You have credit in your cow account.
Have cow points, moo points.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. you would have been saving lives instead of ending them, I guess, right?
I would have been saving them instead of sending them to the hospital.
Right. Did Jason have a focus yet in his medical career?
Not that I remember. It was so long ago, dude. I don't even know how many years of medical school. Was I even in medical school?
I don't know, man.
I don't think I went. I think I was on my way.
On your way. Yeah. On your way when you hit your head. Yeah.
Yep. Actually on my way to medical school when I hit my head.
Right. Yep. gosh. Well, and so he said, and for Spinelli, he would love to see where Damien would be if Georgie hadn't died. Would he still be with Ellie? Would he have still had little Georgie with Maxie, or would he have married Georgie instead? Gosh, that is an interesting one too, because he didn't know, you know, he didn't know that Georgie was into him, and he wasn't at a place yet where he assumed anybody would be into him. It was a long, because I mean,
a girl likes me.
What? Because it was looking for Maxie. It was looking for Georgie's killer with Maxie that kind of sparked their friendship that then went into their, their relationship, romantic and otherwise.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. Whoa! Yeah. When the world turned upside down.
That one day.
That one day.
Time stopped. For 1 minute.
About 58 seconds, yes.
Let's get up. Let's pull the clip up. I think it's a little less. But.
I don't know. I chances are if he and Georgie had a romantic relationship, Maxie would have ruined it for them somehow, or there's so many different paths, there's so many twists and turns in soaps. Gosh, sure. And you think about one of them and how different it all would have been. But that story point was interesting because it launched kind of Spinelli and Maxie. But we were sure sad to lose Lindsay. And
yeah,
it's an interesting thing to think about. So anyway, thank you for giving us a thoughtful question, John.
Thanks, John.
I'm not sure if we gave interesting answers.
Well, I did.
So another great week. We have an exciting week next week.
Yes, well, every week's exciting now. Yep. We have guests. It's always more exciting with guests. So we got some good guests coming up, man. We're super excited, and of course, we have the dinner, right? We have the dinner in L.A.
Yeah, we have the dinner in L.A. In just about 3 weeks. What's today? Today this will air on the 6th, and on the 21st is our dinner.
Yeah, so let me just clarify, because I know you answered some questions on Twitter too, because people are always asking what these dinners are about.
Correct.
Right. So when we go on the road, we usually do clubs every day except for Friday, and then we schedule a private dinner because a club won't give us a club.
Well, it's interesting. The word private is just so that you guys know that we're not like seated at a table for 12 at the Olive Garden. We are at
you know, we,
yes.
we're in a private room. Some people see the word private and think that it's not available to them. It's private.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. Yeah. So
yeah.
We usually try, you know, because we're doing a lot of recon and Linda and Joe are always doing the recon on finding a place. So we want to make sure that it's a private room. Okay. With maybe it's almost a VIP dinner in a private room with limited tickets.
Maybe we should call them VIP dinners instead of private dinners.
Yeah, maybe. That might be a good idea. So, you know, what happens is we just have fun.
Yeah.
We get to spend time with people, with not a lot of people.
Right, it's a limited number of tickets, you know, because we're in smaller rooms. And so that enables us, that gives us time to do autographs, which we don't always have time to do at our shows. And we do pictures.
And a lot of selfies.
A lot of pictures. Yeah.
And a lot of stories. Yeah. We just have fun. A lot of question and answer. I mean, we just do pretty much everything during the dinner.
Well, and so, we get to ask them questions, too, instead of it's not just a one-way conversation.
We get
to talk to them. We get to learn about you, which is fun for us.
And Bradford drinks a lot. And that's what makes it fun.
It's a party. I give license to people to enjoy themselves, so I try to set an example.
That's okay. Great. That's what you do. you set an example of how we don't want our kids to grow up to be.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So that's
that's kind of the dinner thing. So
right.
And then April, man, April's selling so great right
now.
So
awesome.
we're excited.
Yeah.
I think two shows are sold out now from what I saw. I'm not sure.
Cool. Thank you guys. That's awesome. Another caveat about another thing about the LA dinner is that we're introducing a new element to that. We're going to try to record a live podcast in the room with everybody there. At the very least, we're going to try to get a question and answer session recorded. So we're not quite sure how the sound quality is going to be, but if it's a successful or a failure, it'll still be fun, at least for the people in the room.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to have a lot of fun. So go check that out. StoneColdAndJackal.com. Click tour and appearances and you guys will get all the info there. So
yeah.
But
April's coming up, great weeks ahead. Yeah.
Man, we're hitting the road in May too. We're gonna be announcing that soon, so we're excited. And thanks for everything, man. Thanks for your support.
You all. And thank you, Steve.
Oh, thank you, Bradford.
Aww.
It's such a pleasure.
Ain't it?
It always is. Have a good day, buddy.
Bye, everybody.
All right, guys, have a good day. New to Podcast One, check out Two Cups of Joe with Joey Fatone and Joe Mulvihill.
Hot off his appearance in The Masked Singer, the NSYNC singer turned actor joins his manager of 25 years to take you behind the curtain of pop culture with your unique connections in showbiz.
Download Two Cups of Joe with Joey Fatone and Joe Mulvihill every Thursday on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.